Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so today we're going to dive deep into BMW.
Sounds good.
Yeah, looking at their Q3 performance for 2024. Mm-hmm. And also trying to get a sense of, you know, where they're headed.
It's a good time for it.
Yeah. And we've got a pretty interesting set of sources to work with here. We've got their earnings call transcript. Mm-hmm. We've got their investor presentation. And then we've also got the quarterly statement.
Yeah, a lot to unpack.
And it's a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, you've got some real challenges that they're facing, particularly in China.
Right.
And some issues with warranty costs. But then you've also got some really bright spots, particularly in EV growth.
Absolutely.
And some hints at their big bet on this new class of platform that they keep talking about.
The future.
Yeah. So it should be interesting.
Yeah. And I think what's really interesting about all these sources is we're not just looking at numbers. We're really seeing how this company is trying to navigate this landscape and what their strategies are.
Yeah. It's like a window into their thinking. Okay. So let's start with that Q3 performance and the earnings call transcript. I mean, they don't really sugarcoat it. Their profit is down significantly. A massive 79.4% drop.
Oof.
And they're attributing that primarily to high warranty costs.
Right.
And lost sales. And they keep mentioning this IBS issue, the integrated brake system.
Yeah, that seems to be a recurring theme.
Yeah, so for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with all the technical details, what exactly is IBS and why is it such a headache for them?
Yeah, so I mean, just imagine you've got this, you know, sophisticated car like a BMW, and a key part of its braking system is not working as it should.
Right.
And it's not just, you know, a few faulty parts. It's something that can halt production lines.
Wow.
You know, you have customers waiting for their cars, and it creates this huge logistical challenge for BMW to try to fix it.
So it's like a domino effect.
Exactly.
And it's not just the cost of fixing it. It's also the lost sales while they're dealing with this.
Yeah, you've got those halted production lines, delays in deliveries, and all of that directly translates into lost revenue.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you have the cost of actually fixing the problem across potentially thousands of vehicles. It's a big hit.
And all of this is happening against this backdrop of, some economic uncertainty, which is not helping.
Mm, not at all.
Yeah, both the earnings call and the investor presentation, they both kind of highlight some serious concerns about the Chinese market.
Right.
It's not just a little dip. It's a shrinking market overall.
Yeah, and you have dealers struggling financially. Consumers are not feeling confident enough to spend big, even with the government trying to stimulate the economy.
Yeah. And, you know, China has been a huge growth market for luxury brands like BMW.
Exactly.
So this is more than just a blip. This is forcing them to rethink their whole strategy in a region that was crucial to their success.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder, is this a BMW-specific problem, or are other luxury car makers seeing similar trends in China?
Right. Is this a sign of something bigger happening?
It's a great question and something to keep an eye on, because if other brands are experiencing the same thing, it suggests a deeper shift in consumer behavior and economic confidence.
Okay, so let's go back to those warranty woes for a second. The Q&A highlights from the earnings call give a little bit more context to what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, so it turns out BMW has been dealing with these high warranty costs for a while now.
Really?
It's not just this IBS issue. They've had previous problems with airbags, EGR systems. That's exhaust gas recirculation, which helps reduce emissions.
Right.
So they're kind of dealing with ghosts of problems past, and now this IBS situation is just piling on.
So it's a cumulative effect.
Exactly. And even though they're saying overall warranty costs are stable year over year, the fact that they're even mentioning it highlights how significant these costs are to their bottom line.
It makes you wonder, are they being proactive enough to prevent these kinds of issues? What are they doing to avoid playing catch up with these expensive warranty problems down the road?
That's a good point. The investor presentation does touch on some strategic initiatives, but maybe we'll dive into those a bit later.
Okay, sounds good.
For now, let's shift gears to something a little more positive, their electric vehicle growth.
Yeah, finally some good news, right?
Right. This is where things get pretty interesting, because despite all the challenges we've talked about, BMW's BEV sales, that's battery electric vehicle sales, are booming up a whopping 19.1%.
Wow, that's a big jump.
And here's a stat that really jumps out. BEVs now make up 16.8% of their total deliveries. That's a huge increase from just a year ago.
And it aligns with that ambitious goal they have of having over half their sales be BEVs by 2030.
Exactly. They highlight that in their investor presentation.
So it really shows how serious they are about making that shift to electric mobility.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that the strong EV performance is happening while the overall car market is struggling. It suggests they're tapping into a segment that's actually growing despite the economic headwinds.
And it's not just about EVs. They're also doing really well in the U.S. market, which seems to be bucking the global trend.
Right. They're seeing a lot of success with those locally produced models like the X Series, which are in high demand.
Yeah. So their U.S. presence is a smart move. It gives them a buffer against those tariffs and trade tensions.
It does give them a little more flexibility and resilience compared to some other car makers.
It's a bit of a silver lining in this kind of turbulent global landscape.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, so we've covered the good, the not so good of their recent performance. Are we ready to dive into their vision for the future?
Absolutely. Let's explore this whole Neue Klasse thing.
All right, let's do it.
This is where it gets really interesting. Neue Klasse, yeah, it's a whole platform for the future. And they're really focusing on innovation in three key areas.
Okay.
Electrification, digitalization, and circularity.
And when they talk about electrification matching ICEs in the medium term, what does that even mean, like, for someone who's actually driving a Neue Klasse BMW?
Yeah, so it means they're aiming for their electric vehicles to not just be like an eco-friendly option, but to really compete head-to-head with those traditional gas-powered cars, you know, those ICEs, internal combustion engines.
Right.
And we're talking range cost.
Yeah.
And even that feeling of power and performance.
So no compromises, basically. If I want to feel that BMW thrill,
yeah,
I don't have to give that up to go electric.
Exactly. That's the goal. And they're also pushing the boundaries when it comes to digitalization.
Yeah.
Neue Klasse is all about this seamless connection between the car and the driver.
Okay, so I'm reading here about a new quality of human-car connection. What does that even mean? Like, is my car going to become my therapist?
Yeah. Maybe not that far, but think about personalized settings that adjust to your preferences.
Right.
Voice commands that actually work.
Right.
Displays that anticipate what information you need. It's about making the car an extension of your digital life, but in a way that feels natural and enhances the driving experience.
So not just screens everywhere, but how they actually work with you. Okay, and then there's that word circularity that gets thrown around a lot.
Mm.
I'm not always sure what it means in practice.
Yeah, so in the context of Neue Klasse, it's about minimizing the car's environmental impact from start to finish.
Okay.
We're talking sustainable materials in production, making the manufacturing process itself greener, and even designing the car for easy recycling at the end of its life.
So the whole life cycle of the car is more sustainable.
Exactly. And they're backing this up with some very specific design choices. For example, they're introducing a cylindrical battery cell design for their sixth generation of electric vehicles that's coming out in 2025.
Right. I remember seeing that in the investor presentation. Why is that such a big deal, this new battery?
Well, it's about packing more energy into a smaller space, which translates to increased range for the car.
Okay, so further on a single charge.
Yeah, exactly, without having to have this gigantic battery pack.
Right, makes sense. Longer range is always a good thing.
Always. But it goes beyond that. They're also projecting a 30% reduction in charging time.
Wow. Okay, so less time waiting around?
Exactly. Who wants to wait around for hours? And then there's a cost reduction. They're looking at 40 to 50% less cost for the battery pack itself.
So it's efficiency, convenience, and cost savings.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good combo.
It really is. And it underscores how committed they are to making electric vehicles, not just for the early adopters, but for the mass market.
Okay. So this Neue Klasse platform is one thing, but they're also making some big moves when it comes to battery production. Like, they're basically building out their own global network for this, right?
Yeah. They're realizing that if they want to be a leader in electric vehicles, they can't be reliant on others for these crucial components. Mm. So they're ramping up their own production capacity, which is a smart strategic move.
It's like they're taking control of their own destiny.
Exactly. And they're even building these specialized centers, like a battery cell competence center and a cell manufacturing competence center. It's a serious investment.
Wow. So they're going all in on battery tech.
Yeah.
But it's not just about building more batteries. They're doing it with sustainability in mind.
Absolutely. Their investor presentation really highlights this focus on using green power and secondary materials that's recycled components in their production.
Okay, so they're walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Yeah, they're really aiming for a closed loop system where batteries are recycled and reused as much as possible, minimizing that environmental impact.
It's pretty amazing how much thought they're putting into this, but I'm curious, they're going all in on electric, but they're also exploring hydrogen fuel cell technology. Why not just stick with batteries?
Well, it's about keeping their options open. They see fuel cells as another potential pathway to sustainable mobility, especially for maybe larger vehicles or those that need longer ranges. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Right. So hedging their bets, exploring different avenues makes sense, but it sounds like batteries are still their main focus.
Oh, absolutely. But they are planning to launch their first series production fuel cell electric vehicle in 2028, and they've actually partnered with Toyota on this.
Interesting. So collaboration is key in this industry.
Yeah, it really is. And by working together, they can share resources, expertise, and potentially speed up the development of this technology.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about their digitalization strategy. I mean, they're already known for their connected car technology, but it sounds like they're taking it to a whole new level.
Yeah, they are. Their investor presentation really emphasizes this focus on creating these comprehensive and intuitive user interfaces, developing cutting-edge software, and leading the way in over-the-air upgrades.
Yeah, they're saying they have the world's largest fully upgradable fleet. That's pretty impressive.
It is. It means their cars are constantly evolving, getting smarter and more feature-rich over time.
Yeah.
You know, getting new features and capabilities delivered wirelessly, just like you do on your smartphone.
So it's not just about buying a car. It's about joining this ecosystem that's constantly getting better.
Exactly. And that ecosystem extends beyond the car itself. They're building this whole suite of digital services, from navigation and entertainment to remote vehicle control and maintenance reminders.
So it's all about making that ownership experience as seamless and convenient as possible.
Precisely. And it's driven by this understanding of how technology is shaping our expectations and how we interact with the world around us.
Right. And speaking of technology shaping expectations, let's talk about driver assistance and safety features. This is a huge area of innovation in the car industry right now.
It is. And BMW is right at the forefront, pushing the boundaries of what's possible. Their investor presentation really highlights their history in developing driver assistance systems, focusing on both safety and enhancing the driving experience.
They're especially proud of that Level 2 Plus Highway Assistant.
Yeah.
That lets you drive hands-free on the highway at speeds up to 130 kilometers per hour.
Right.
I gotta say, the idea of taking my hands off the wheel at that speed is a little unnerving.
Yeah, it's definitely a big step towards more automated driving, and they're claiming to be the first automaker to get approval for hands-free driving at those speeds, which is significant, and it's not just about convenience. It's about reducing driver fatigue and potentially making highways safer.
Right, but it does raise some questions about safety, you know, how these systems will interact with human drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that regulators and car makers are really grappling with as this technology keeps evolving.
Okay, so let's shift gears again and talk about some of the challenges they're facing. We talked about the IBS issue earlier and its impact on their Q3 performance. Okay. Any updates on that front?
Yeah, so in the earnings call transcript, they mentioned that they've initiated global technical measures to address the problem and that they expect those to be completed in the near future.
Okay, so they're working on a fix, but it's still an ongoing issue.
It is, and it just reminds us that even the most sophisticated companies can be vulnerable to these supply chain disruptions and technical glitches. It highlights the importance of having those robust quality control measures and backup plans in place.
Okay, now let's talk about another challenge that's been looming large, the situation in the Chinese market.
Yeah, this is a complex situation that's still evolving, as we discussed earlier. China's economy is slowing down. Consumer confidence is shaky.
And this is having a ripple effect across industries, including the automotive sector.
Absolutely. And BMW has been heavily reliant on the Chinese market for growth in recent years.
So this slowdown is hitting them where it hurts.
It really is. And they're having to adapt their strategy to this new reality.
And in the earnings call, they talked about focusing on growing their BEV market share in China.
Right. They currently have a 15% share of that market.
Okay, so they're doubling down on electrification.
And they're also launching new models that are specifically tailored to the Chinese market, like the fully electric Mini that will be produced locally.
So localization is key.
It is. It's a smart approach considering that growing demand for EVs in China, but it's still a significant challenge. They even acknowledge that this is part of the usual market cycles, but it's a cycle they need to navigate very carefully.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out in the long run.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's turn our attention to the U.S. market, where BMW has been performing relatively well. What's driving that success?
Well, they've benefited from their strong manufacturing presence in the U.S. You know, they're producing popular models like the X3, X5, X6, X7, and XM locally.
Right.
And that local production helps them avoid those potential tariffs and trade tensions, which is a huge advantage in the current global climate.
Gives them that flexibility and resilience.
Exactly. And they're also making a big investment in electrifying their Spartanburg plant to the tune of 1.7 billion euros.
Wow, that's a clear sign that they're committed to the U.S. market.
It is. They see it as a key driver of growth for their electric vehicle sales.
So it'd be interesting to see how that investment translates into new models and market share gains in the coming years.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's zoom out a little bit and look at the bigger picture. BMW keeps talking about rethinking premium individual mobility. What do they actually mean by that?
Well, it's about recognizing that the automotive industry is undergoing this major transformation. It's not just about building and selling cars anymore. It's about creating this holistic mobility experience that meets the evolving needs and expectations of customers.
So it's about more than just the car itself. It's the whole ecosystem.
Exactly. It's about digital services, connectivity, charging, infrastructure, sustainable manufacturing. All these things come into play.
And it's about anticipating what customers will want in the future, whether that's autonomous driving, personalized experiences, mm-hmm. or those sustainable mobility solutions.
Precisely. And BMW seems to be embracing this whole transformation wholeheartedly.
It's a pretty exciting time to be watching this industry evolve.
Yes.
Okay. So before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, let's touch on one more important aspect. Sustainability.
Right. This is a core value for BMW, and it's woven into everything they do.
They're really committed to reducing their environmental impact across the entire value chain, from sourcing those raw materials to production use phase and recycling.
Yeah, and they've set some pretty ambitious targets for reducing CO2 emissions, embracing circular economy principles, and making sure their sourcing practices are ethical.
And they're putting their money where their mouth is, investing heavily in R&D to create more sustainable mobility solutions.
Yeah, they're not just talking about sustainability. They're taking concrete steps to make it a reality.
And that's got to be what makes them stand out in such a crowded market.
It definitely does.
So welcome back to the deep dive,
where we've been really digging into BMW, you know, their recent performance and their plans.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. I mean, we've seen some, some real struggles they're facing, but also some pretty bold moves for the future.
Yeah. What stood out to you the most?
Honestly, it's that contrast between their short-term problems mm-hmm. and that long-term vision they're dealing with. You know, headwinds in key markets, those warranty issues, and they're pouring money into new tech that's hitting their bottom line right now.
Yeah, but they're not shying away from, you know, their commitment to electrification, digitalization, and circularity. Right. All those investments and new class battery production sustainability, it shows they're playing the long game.
It's like they're sailing through rough seas, but with their eyes on the prize.
And that prize is a future where, you know, premium individual mobility is totally redefined, where technology makes the driving experience better, but also minimizes the impact on the environment.
Yeah, it's a bold vision. And as we've seen, they're not afraid of being ambitious.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. They practically invented the sports sedan with the 3 Series redefined luxury. With the 7 Series, they're disruptors.
Right, and that same spirit is driving Neue Klasse.
Yeah.
This isn't just, you know, tweaking things here and there. It's a whole new approach to how they build cars.
They're bringing together, you know, cutting-edge tech, sustainable materials, mm-hmm. and a digital-first mindset to make a car that's both thrilling to drive and responsible.
Yeah, and it goes beyond the car itself. They're building this whole ecosystem around it. Connected services, autonomous driving features, charging infrastructure, battery recycling.
So they're really thinking big picture, trying to anticipate what customers will need and want years down the line.
Exactly. And it's a massive undertaking, but their history shows they have the expertise and the drive to pull it off.
They've got the resources, the talent, and most importantly, they seem to really believe in this vision.
Absolutely.
Okay, so as we wrap up, what are the key things our listeners should watch for in the coming months and years?
Well, the launch of Neue Klasse in 2025 is going to be huge. Will it live up to the hype? Will it deliver on those promises of performance, efficiency, and sustainability? That's something we'll be watching closely.
Definitely. And what about China? Will their strategy of focusing on EVs and local production work to turn things around in that market?
Right. And don't forget about hydrogen fuel cell technology. Will it become a real alternative to battery electric vehicles, or will it stay a niche solution?
Yeah. So many interesting questions. It's clear that BMW is at a crossroads, facing challenges, but also embracing some amazing opportunities.
Yeah. It'll be fascinating to see how it all unfolds.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into BMW's performance and future. We hope you found it insightful.
And we encourage you to keep exploring this topic and asking your own questions. This industry is changing so fast, there's always something new to learn.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.